Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Mike, for that song. That was a great song. We're thankful for the Lord. And thank you, church. If we wouldn't have what we have here if it wasn't for all the good people that work and want to serve God. And God is not unfaithful to forget your work and labor of love, which you do minister toward His name. I want to try to read out of Joshua chapter 3, and I'll move as quickly as I can this morning. I spent all week thinking that I had the message that God wanted me to preach this morning. I was convinced of it last Monday. I was convinced of it on Tuesday. I was convinced of it on Wednesday. I was convinced of it on Thursday. And I was convinced of it on Friday morning until God spoke to me. And I'll share with you just a thought in just a minute about how that happened. But I want to read out of Joshua chapter number 3. I want to read verse 1 through 5 and then 9 through 17. And we'll talk about the scripture for just a minute. But I want to share a thought with you this morning, and the title of the message is Getting Ready to Cross Jordan. In Exodus chapter number 13, the children of Israel were led out of Egypt by Moses. God blessed them, God gave them favor, they borrowed jewels, and they went on their journey, and they wandered a little bit in the wilderness there down by the Red Sea, and they got down by the Red Sea. About this time, God had already moved and hardened Pharaoh's heart, and here he comes behind them. The chariots, the horses, they can see the dust rising from the great army that was coming behind them. And they begin to murmur. And they said, were there not graves in Egypt that God has led us out here into the desert that we would die? And there was a pillar of a cloud that was before them that was God's presence in their midst. And He moved behind them so that all that night the Egyptians could not get to where the children of Israel were. Now, they were so close, it was like this. They could hear the Egyptians talking, but they couldn't get to them because God was protecting them. And the next morning, something great happened. They got up, and all that night, a mighty east wind had blown, and that Red Sea had moved until it was dry ground. And the children of Israel, they went across on dry ground to the other side because God takes care of His people. Now, here come the Egyptians behind them, and that great army, the choicest horses, the choicest chariots, and they get down into the midst of that Red Sea, and the water comes, and it destroys the great and mighty army. Now, I don't know if you've ever considered this, but if it had not been for that event, what kind of world power would Egypt be today? But anybody who defies God, who defies God, they're going to have their limitations. Because the only power that they have is power that God gives them. That's all. And sometimes what God does is He gives power so that He can teach His people. Because ultimately, folks, we're not going to be here forever. We're going to be with the Lord. Now, they had to cross that Red Sea. We come over to the book of Joshua, and we find another crossing that these same children of Israel. Now, you got to realize that this was years later, okay? This was after they had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. It was after all of those that did not believe God had died. God had raised up a new generation, but these were still God's people. And they get down by the Jordan River, and they look, and there's another river to cross. Now, I want to tell you something. You're going to have some rivers to cross. And we're going to get to that in just a minute, because that's really what I want to preach about. But I want to read this scripture to give you some context this morning. Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 1. It says, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. It says, and it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then go down to the ninth verse. It says, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and hath that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and all the Jebusites, all the enemies. He said, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth before you unto Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every man a tribe of man, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that flow down from above, and shall stand upon a heap. And it shall come to pass when the people remove their tents and passed over the Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were coming to the Jordan, that the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. It says, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. Now, folks, this was a little different when they crossed the Red Sea. You see, that night God caused that east wind to blow. Let me tell you, when they walked up to that river and they looked at it, it was flooding. It was out of its banks. It was roaring. It was raging. It was boiling. But when that priest's foot touched that water, God moved that water. It says, and the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon a heap, very far from the city Adam that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea in the plain, even the salt sea failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And it says, and the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean or entirely over. Now, I want to just look at this scripture from a historical perspective for just a minute. Because, folks, I want to tell you something. It happened just like God's word said. Okay, this is not a story, this is not a parable, this is not a fairy tale, this is real life, God moving in the midst of his people. Now, when they come down to the Jordan, here's what I want you to see. There was a river to cross. A big river, a raging river that was outside of its banks. And Joshua told the people in these first three verses, he said, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, go after it. Now, you know, for us, follow God. Stay with God. Verse 4, he said, talking of the ark, he said, come not near to it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Now, sometimes here's what's hard about preaching. God begins to show me stuff, and there's a lesson in every verse. But very simply, in verse number 4, don't get ahead of God. Sometimes we got to get back and listen a little bit. Let our ears be tuned to the Holy Spirit so that we will know what God's will is and where God has given us direction. He said, now you follow that ark, but you don't get ahead of it. Because God knows the way, not you. And if you're not being led by him, you might get off in the wrong place. Look at verse 5. He says, sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, here's something that I think we need to do. And this is not popular, but it's exactly what we need. Didn't we pray just a minute ago and say, Lord, help me. If there's anything in me, Lord, that's not right, help it to get right. I tell you what you need to do when you come into the house of God. You need to pray before you get here. You know, the Bible says in one place, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Here's what sanctify yourselves is. It is to prepare to be in the presence of Almighty God. When we come into his house, folks, I believe this is holy ground. I have an aunt who sings and she loves to sing. And I can always tell when God's moving because she'll get up here on the stage and she'll kick her shoes off. And she'll begin to walk around. And when she takes her shoes off and she starts moving, it's about to get on. Now, some of you been around a while. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say it's about to get on. It's not praise God. It's praise God. Look at verse 9. Joshua said, he said, come hither. Come hither. Now, here's what it is, and this is sometimes what we need to do. You get close, and you give me your full attention. He said, hear the words of the Lord your God. You know, sometimes the problem we have is God sends us instruction, but we're not listening. God sends direction, but we don't want to hear it. I'll tell you who can be taught. It's someone who has a teachable spirit. A person who doesn't want to learn, a person who knows everything, you're headed for trouble. Do y'all know what I'm talking about if I say a sump hole? Y'all ever been up to the Lake Altoona and you know how it is up there? I've had my kids. I said, y'all stay right here. You know what I say? I've checked all this area. But I hadn't been over there and I hadn't been over there. You stay right here and you'll be all right. Do you know that sometimes God speaks to us in that way and we just won't listen? He said, get here and hear the words of the Lord. Verse 10, he said, God is among you and he will not fail you. He's telling them, he's encouraging them. And in verse 11 to 13, Joshua's saying this. He said, now listen to what's going to happen. Now I know it looks rough out there and I know that the water is way outside of its banks. And I know that it looks scary, and I know that you're concerned. But listen, God's going to part these waters. These waters may look rough. And yeah, the Jordan's outside of its banks. But God's going to part these waters. And in verse 16, as soon as that priest's foot that was bearing the ark stepped into that water, it started moving out of his way. They saw it. It's almost like this, if you could just imagine it. In Hollywood, I know they got special effects, but they cannot do a good enough job for this. You got to allow God to speak to your heart and mind right now. As they're walking in that water's just moving out of their way. It's just like it's afraid of them, and it's not going to touch them. And they can look in the water, and they can see the fish and the turtles, and it's just like as God moves it back, not only is the water moving, but the ground is coming dry under their feet. So that when they pull their carts and they bring their animals, they don't bind up. Because God did, and he's going to do, folks, exactly what he says it will do. You see, verse 17 said, all the people passed over on dry ground. Now, I read that scripture for this purpose, and I want to share with you just a thought. I got to work Friday morning, and I'm walking down the hall, and I go down to the corner, and there's a lady there. And the first two of them are talking. They're standing there, and the lady said, have you heard? And I said, I heard. You know how I am. Most of the time, I don't want to know. I said, heard what? And they begin to tell me, they were from a foreign country. They said, our leader of our country is calling all of the people that are abroad, all students, all people to come back to the homeland. And I said, what? And yeah, she told me, I said, well, I don't listen to the news much. I'm sick of it. Amen. And she said, well, you're not going to see this on CNN or whatever and Fox and the other news stations. And she said, but you can look it up. And I listened to them a minute and they told me and they said, we don't know what's going to happen. And they began to talk about what could happen and the things that could happen. And I just looked at them and I listened for a minute. Now, obviously, you know how the Holy Spirit moves. God is already moving in my heart and my mind. And then finally I looked at him, I said, well, y'all getting on a plane or y'all working today? Well, they said, we're working right now, but we don't know. I said, well, okay. Well, I went down to my office and I sat there and all of a sudden God jumped on me. And he began to speak to me. And here's what I want you to understand, Christians. We have no idea what we're going to face tomorrow. We have no idea what kind of rivers we're going to have to cross. There's a verse that I want to read to you, Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse number 5. And I said, God, I could never preach on that. That's too tough. That's too hard of a verse. I don't know how in the world you'd create a message, but God brought it right back to me again. I want to read it to you this morning. Jeremiah 12:5 says, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they have wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? In that verse, it's on my heart and my mind so often I think about it. You know why I think about it? Because sometimes life is tough. Sometimes I've got more than I can do. Sometimes there are things that coming against me, and if it were not for God's help, I would not be able to make it. You know, and sometimes in life, here's the way it looks for people. They say, well, you know, it's getting rough. And I've heard people say this. It can't get any worse. Oh, yes, it can. I promise you it can. You say, well, it's just about as bad as it can get. Oh, no, it's not. We have no idea what we're going to face. I want you to understand something. As Christians, we're becoming more and more persecuted today than ever in the history of this country. This country was founded on biblical principles. But today, during this next election cycle, we stand the chance of 4 years more of the same thing. And we may not have churches that preach the way that I preach. And so, well, I just don't believe that. Well, it's possible. Now, I want to tell you something I believe with all my heart. We're getting lined up for Jesus to come. I can remember when Kendra and I first got married, and I mentioned this to Brother Keith this morning. We went to a church up in Rome, up there they sang, and a man got up, and he talked about being away from home for 2 weeks traveling. And he said he walked up on his front porch and he said there were spider webs all across the two posts. And there were leaves hanging in the spider webs. And he said, just like God speaks, he said, God spoke to me. And he said, I'm getting things lined up for leaving, for the meeting in the air. You know, when I hear things and I realize what's going on in the world, we can go to Matthew chapter number 24. It gives us all the signs. And we're seeing them. But let me tell you something, Christians. We don't know what we're going to have to face. We don't know what we're going to have to deal with. And then sometimes say, well, nothing worse than this can possibly happen. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. So I want to give you just a few things, and I'll move again as quickly as I can. Some things that we need to recognize about getting ready to cross the Jordan. Number one, this is no time to get weary. This is no time to get weary. We don't need to get weary. We need to get going, okay? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says this, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know what tough times call for? Tough times call for faithful measures. That's what it calls for. When the going gets tough, you get down on your knees. That's what I do. When the burdens get so heavy, I can't bear them. When the troubles get so high that I can't mount them. When the mountains are so high I can't go over them, I just fall down and I cry out to the Lord, because where else do you have to go? Remember when Jesus was there and he was preaching and the disciples were there and he said some hard sayings and many turned and walked away from him and he looked at his disciples and he said, will you also go away? And they said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. When the difficulties come in your life, when the troubles come, when the heartaches come, go to the Lord. Don't walk away from him. You know, we're living in a time today, and you can look this up, you can study this for yourself. Preachers are quitting every day. Amen. They're quitting on churches. They don't want to do it anymore. They say, I've heard some of them say, I'm tired of fighting the battle. I'm just going to do something else. Folks, this is no time to get weary. Amen. I've heard daddies say, heard somebody recently, talking about their husband, talking about their daddy, and they said, well, he just had to leave to go figure out what he was going to do. I said, why didn't he just get a job and tough it out? Why didn't he love his kids? Why didn't he help his wife do dishes? Why didn't he do the things that God has called men to do? Well, I hear the same thing about mothers. I know men that are single dads, and I say, where's mom at? He said, well, she just went off to find herself. Let me tell you where you're at. You're right here. The question is, are you right with God? You see, yeah, it may get tough, and yes, there may be rivers to cross, but when we come up to them, we look up to the God of heaven that's helped us over the last river and say, God, would you help me today? See, this is no time to get weary. It's a time to get going. It's a time to prepare for the crossing. Now, church, I'll say this. The altars are always open. But when we come into the house of the Lord, we ought to come. People say, well, bless me if you can. You ought to come to be a blessing to God. And if you come in and you come praying before you come and you come looking for God, there's no telling what God can do in our midst. Number one, don't get weary. Number two, remember God's plan, okay? Often we say that God has a plan for our future. We preach that, we say that, we've got a lot of youth here, and I praise God for them, and we tell them that. But I want to tell you something else. God's got a plan for right now. God's got a plan for today. A lot of times people are always looking off and they're trying to figure out what they're going to do next year. It's kind of like me when I was 18 and I got my insurance bill and my mom and daddy didn't help me pay it anymore. I thought, oh Lord, I had a guy tell me the other day when I was trying to get him to lower the rates. I said, I've got a 16-year-old son. He said, well, tell him to get 25 as fast as he can. But I want to tell you, don't want to be 25 if you're 18. If you're 16, be 16. If you're 40, be 40. If you're 50, be 50. Here's the point. God's got a plan for right now. You don't have to live for the future. You don't have to live for the past. The God that served you, that saved you, He's real today. He's here today. He's in our midst today. And He'll work in your life today. Because God has a plan for right now, for today. God's plan for today. We don't know what rivers we'll have to cross. But one thing I know, and I'll say this, and I trust this, I don't have all the answers. There have been times I've been to people and kneel down beside them and just take them by the hand, and you don't even know what to say. Well, don't try to say something. Just hold their hand. Just love them. But here's one thing I know. Every river you cross, He'll cross it with you. Every burden you come up against, He'll help you carry it. When you look back and you see what happened in Exodus 13, when they got down by the Red Sea, God was with them. When they got over there to the waters of Marah and the waters were bitter, they had already forgotten how God delivered them. But folks, God was with them. And He said, Moses, you go over and you get that branch and you cast it in that water. The waters became sweet. They come up to this river. It's out of the banks. And the priest just touched it with his foot. And God moved. God moved because they were God's children. And they were still looking to Him. Number two, you remember God's plan. Number three, remember God's purpose. We, God's children, are going somewhere. We're only passing through. We're only here for a short while. And here's something to understand about every river that you come up against. It's going to come to pass. In other words, you're going to cross that river. It may be difficult. It may bring heartache. It may be tough. But you're going to cross it. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to look around. And you're going to see it fading in the background as you pull away from it. And that's the way the things in our life are, because God has a purpose. Everything that we go through, God goes through it with us. And if we look to the future, we've got a purpose that we're going to pass through this life and we're going to be with God in eternity. While I'm here today, as much as I don't like it, I'm going to cross that river for the honor and glory of God. Because that's ultimately why we're here, right? Remember God's purpose. Remember God's provision. Where does our help come from? Where does our hope come from? Where does our strength come from? You know, the way you get through the battle today and you cross the river today is you remember the one that God helped you cross yesterday. Now, God wants you to have faith. That's why, have you ever noticed in this scripture that in Exodus 13, all night long that wind blew? And when they got up in the morning, it was ready. Okay? God moved. Now, we know it's not the same ones, but can't you imagine what Mom and Daddy said? How God helped them to get across. You remember they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and the Scripture said their shoes didn't get wore out. They walk up to this river, and it's not ready. It's out of its banks. But the same God that parted the Red Sea is going to part the Jordan. But what He's looking for in their life, in mine and your life, is He wants you to have a little more faith today, a little more faith tomorrow, a little more movement tomorrow. He wants God to be able to work in your life because if you trust Him, if you believe in Him, if you have faith in Him, that's what gives God glory. And God got glory. You know, when we remember our past victories and we remember what it was like to cross the Red Sea, then we cross the Jordan and we remember what it's like. Let me tell you, that next river is just another river to cross. It's kind of like David when he walked down and there's Goliath standing over there and he's over 9 feet tall and he's got a spear that has a beam or a handle like a weaver's beam, and the spearhead is so heavy the average man couldn't pick it up. And he looks at Saul and he says, "Well, the bear came out and God delivered me from the bear. And the lion came out and God delivered me from the lion." And you look over at Goliath and he looks so much bigger. You know what he said? "God will deliver me from him too." Can I tell you, if God delivered them from the Red Sea, if God delivered them from the Jordan, God's going to deliver you from the next river that you have to cross. Now, I want to just give you a few more points, and this is just what's on my heart. Let me tell you what I'd do if I come down to the river. If I come down to that Jordan, and I'm looking at it, and it's overflowing its banks, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get my family close. Here's what I'm going to say. This is just the way that I am. I'm going to say, "Kendra, you tell them boys to get over here. You tell them to get right here by me. I'm going to look at my daughter and my son-in-law. I don't care. You know, I know he's a man, but I'm going to say, Jessica and Jake, now you get Eli and you get Zeke and you hold on to them. You get them close to you." Now, I want to tell you something you ought to do, folks. We got rivers to cross. It's not time to quit on God. It's not time to turn your back on God. What we need to do is we need to reach out to our family. We need to get them just like he is. And we need to pull them close. And if you got an ought against them, you need to forgive them. You need to get right with them. It's a shame to go through life. People won't even speak to their own family, won't love their brothers and sisters because something happened 20 years ago. They normally can't even remember what caused it. Let's get close. Let's forgive one another. I tell you something that God's had to deal with me about. I'm going to heaven with people I don't like. God has worked on me about that. What in the world are you going to do when you get there and you look over there and there they are grinning at you? Yes. You know what God tells us in his word? He said, if you love me, you got to love them. And you know, sometimes what we do, we look at them and say, well, I'm not like them. I didn't do what they did. It's their fault. When I get like that, I tell you what God does. And I don't like this. In the Psalms, David said, "Search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my reins, see if there's anything wicked in me." Have you ever had God hold a mirror up in front of you? I don't like God doing that to me. So I have stopped pointing out other people's faults. Because when I do, the Holy Spirit comes and jumps on me, and I realize if it weren't for the mercy and grace of God, I wouldn't make it. So I tell you how you get your family close. You love them. My little boy Luke, he was cutting up this morning. He's stubborn. I'm not going to say nothing about who it takes after. And I made him sit right there, and he didn't want to sit there. And I said, "I tell you what, you can get up when you come give me a big old hug." He didn't want to do that. Finally, he wanted to get up bad enough. You know what you got to do to people that aren't treating you right? You got to love them. And when you're getting ready to cross the river, sometimes I want to tell you something. You'll realize that the danger out there in front of you, the trouble in front of you, the fact that Jesus is coming, it might be enough for you to let bygones be bygones and be forgiven, because without God's mercy and God's forgiveness, what would we have? Amen. So you love them, you forgive them. And here's something else, and I believe this with all my heart, folks. If you got somebody that you know that you love that's lost, it's time to tell them to come. It's time to invite them. It's time to get them in, because we do not know how much time we're going to have. I'd look for all my family. I'd say, let's get close. Next thing I'd do is I'd listen for direction. I'd be paying attention. I'd be up there. You know how it is. You ever been in a meeting, somebody talking on the other side of the room, and you can't hear, and you know it's important, and I'm squitching my way, trying to get up there where I can hear, because I don't want to make no mistakes. I'd be paying attention. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17, it says this. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Folks, we're living in those days. You know, the next thing I'd do, I'd follow the leader. When God says move, or when God moves, I'd follow him. You know what? Sometimes people want to argue, well, I know the water's parting in front of them, but if they had to come over here and tried it over here on this, why not just follow the leader? Amen. Folks, I'm going to tell you who the leader is. Amen. God's the leader. I'm not the leader. The deacons are not the leader. The deacons' wives are not the leader. The pastor's wife is not the leader. The Sunday school teachers are not the leader. God is our leader. Amen. And we follow our leader in order to do that. Here's what sanctifying yourself is. Get rid of yourself. Get rid of yourself. Give up what you want and let God have what he wants. Amen. See, he told the people, sanctify yourselves. For the Lord will do wonders among you. And I've said this before. There's no telling what God can do at Hiram First Baptist Church if we don't care who gets the credit. And here's the last thing. Go to the other side. Can I tell you, we may have some rivers to cross, but we win. God's already created a place, been preparing it for us. He said, I'll go and prepare it. He said, I'll come again to receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may go also. Folks, he's coming. Jesus is coming. Now, I don't know what we're going to have to face. I don't know what kind of rivers. But I want to read that verse to you again. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. Because I know there's a lot of people that have tough things going on. No time to quit. No time to stop. No time to say, I'm just going to stop being a preacher. I'm just going to stop serving God. I'm going to stop being a mama. I'm going to stop being a daddy. He said, if you've run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou dwellest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Now I'm going to ask you, if you would, to rise to your feet. They're going to play a song. Greatest opportunity in time in a church is when God speaks to us and calls us. Maybe somebody here this morning is carrying a burden, a heavy heart. Folks, I want to tell you, God wants to help you. God wants to comfort you, and I know that's the heart's desire of this church. As they play this song, if you'd like to pray, this is your opportunity.
Captivated by your beauty, I'm overwhelmed.
Had the children of Israel never crossed the Jordan River, they would have never gotten to the promised land. They would have stayed in the wilderness. I've thought about sometimes when this country was growing, was moving west, when they got to the Mississippi River or the Missouri River, of the Colorado River. And they pull up and they've got those wagon loads. And sometimes what they'd have to do is they have to look through that wagon and they'd get rid of everything except just what they needed. Because what they'd realize is the most important thing for me to get across this river is me and my family, my children.
They'd leave a piano sitting there that was weighting the wagon down, or they'd leave some china because they wanted to get to that rich land they had heard about. Folks, we win. God's got a place prepared for us. Thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for singing, singers. Thank you for being a part of our service.